Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. It is our first episode in the year 2025. My name is Taylor and I am joined as always by my good friend and co-host Kelly. Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm all right. We are so back. Before we get into things, I just want to thank everyone that sent any kind words in the past couple of weeks to me. Shit got worse in 2024, if you can believe that. Dad died, so that was not cool. They got him. But you know what? 2025, new year, it's already going pretty good. So we're going to hopefully keep this momentum going and have a good show. Taylor, how was your holidays?
It was good. It was very relaxing. Good. And now we're here in 2025, as you said, new year, but we still got some same good old Joshi to talk about. So before we dive into it, of course, we have to put in the plugs. Follow us on Twitter at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So we're going to get right into it. Actually, not going to do any real in-depth show reviews today. What we're going to do, we've got so much to cover. We're just going to sort of bounce around all the different promotions that had all Christmas shows, New Year's shows, 2025 shows, 2024 shows. We're going to talk about it all here on the show, starting with Stardom. Stardom had a number of shows in the last 2 weeks, starting with a show on Christmas Eve, December 24th, had two title matches, Mae Sierra defeating Momokogo to retain the high-speed title, Miyu Amasaki defeating Sayaka Carrara to retain the Future of Stardom title. And they had another New Blood show on the 26th, where they had new champions, new blood tag team champions, Empress Nexus Venus, Hanako, and Waka Tsukiyama defeating Azusa Inaba and Rina to win those titles. But the biggest show of the last 2 weeks for Stardom was on the 29th, their year-end big show, as always. Kelly, I know you watched this one. What do you think of the show overall?
I thought this show was tremendous. This may have taken the spot of show of the year in 2024 for me.
I agree. I think it was easily the best show of the last 2 weeks. Not to put a damper on the other shows that we'll talk about, which had a lot of fun things, but an excellent show. Really felt like classic Stardom. Most importantly, number one thing, hot crowd.
Yes.
Hot crowd. I was like, whoa, this is really fun. The crowd is into it. There was a lot of people there. I think it was 4,028, if I remember correctly. It was up there. They had a lot of people. They were into it. They were making noise. I was like, yeah, this is great. This show ended up having my Stardom match of the year on it, sneaking in 2 days before the calendar flips with Starlight Kid and Natsupoi, which I went 5 stars on.
Nice.
I love that match. What did you think of that match?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I went 4.5 on it. I don't know. It was just, I don't know why I hated it. I'm sorry.
yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought Starlight Kid, her limb work in the early going was so good that I was convinced she was winning when she had the stretch muffler on Natsupoi. I thought, like, that was it. That was over. It was done then. And then the match kept going, and I was kind of surprised. Because it was just like, the limb work was just so effectively done. And, like, just, it's like, it's one of those where it's like, yeah, these are two of the best the company has. Of course this is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, I just thought it was great. I thought it was great drama. I thought that was a big thing. You know, obviously the action was good, two very good wrestlers, but I thought it was great drama. One of the notes I wrote was literally hot dog with an exclamation point. So a match that was my favorite match on the show, my favorite match of the last 2 weeks, very easily. Some interesting other things happening on the show. I will say, not to beat a dead horse, but that hardcore match, Natsukatora and Micah, they should be doubling Micah's paycheck.
Yes.
She worked so hard in that match to make Tora look good. Tora
did, that was an all-time carry job.
Almost nothing.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh my God, she's not even going to bleed. And then, you know, she went out and she came back in, and it was like one little stream of blood.
One of,
and I
just
was like, come on.
I have in my notes, she works light as a feather and had one of the saddest blade jobs you've ever seen.
you know, Mike is in there like gushing everywhere, white pants. I'm like, oh, this is so good. Taking bumps. Yeah. I really liked the match. I went 4 stars, but I was like, you know, if it was a equation, it would be like 3 3/4 Micah, 1/4.
Yeah. Ventura. Yeah. I was at 4 1/4 on this. And I think it's the best match I've ever seen that has one half of the people in the match being fucking terrible the entire time. Like, this is the kind of match that she should be having with the character she plays, but she's so bad at it. It's like, just like I said, the saddest bland job I've ever seen. And Micah just so embraced the plunder brawl. Like, if she hadn't, this would have been horrible. And like, to me, the moment that really kind of drives home how fucking terrible Natsuka Tora is in this role, once she beat Micah, she was trying to get up, and the barbed wire that she wrapped herself in was stuck in Micah's gear, and she was too scared to pull it out herself and had to have the referee do it. That's when I was like, yep, you are not this person. You are playing a character, and you are very bad at it.
I also have to say something very controversial about this show.
Oh.
Which may end this podcast 15 minutes into 2025 as we record. I thought Daichi was really good on this show.
Daichi has improved leaps and bounds.
I thought he was really good. I really noticed it during Iwata and Serieno.
Yeah.
When I thought he was really good scolding for the punch. And then, you know, they got in a confrontation. Another match I really liked, I went 4 1/4 on that match.
I was 4 1/2 on that one.
I also wrote hot dog on that match. So I guess I was just in a hot dog type of mood.
That was a hot dog match. I've never seen two wrestlers so effectively convey hate for each other the way those two do. And it's not like they're, I'm stabbing you in the head, I'm shooting you with a gun. It's just the way they just hate each other seems so mean in every way.
Yeah, and Iwata is very intense.
Yes.
Which was really great for this match. I will say the other Daichi thing, which I just thought of, which I hadn't made a note of, I think it was one of the near falls in Starlight Kid and Natsupoi, where he was counting and he got so close to 3.
Yep.
And I was like, buddy, you are trusting them to kick out at the exact right time. Because if they were half, you know, maybe not even half a second later, if they were an eighth of a second later, you've just looked like you've counted to 3.
Yeah. No, Daichi showed up to work and he was very good on this show. And I'll talk a little bit about him on the 1-3 show when we get there. But like, I was impressed with Daichi. I thought he was very good.
You know, we didn't even talk about I thought a great tag title match to open the show proper. The thing I said that they should do back when they had that other good tag title match, and I was like, they should always start the show with these.
Yep.
And it was another good one.
Yep.
So I'm right. And they
They strapped up Wingori, so that's fucking awesome.
Now, Kelly, interesting question. Did you watch the pre-show matches?
I watched the Rana Yagami Sayaka Carrara match, and I thought it was fine.
Time limit draw. Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
The pre-show was like 45 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah, because I saw the YouTube upload where it's like the two pre-show matches and the first match, and it was like an hour 37 or something. I was like, what the fuck?
The only other question I had in the pre-show, and this doesn't even really have to do with the match. I thought of it during a match, but having nothing to do with what was happening in the match. Can we talk for a brief second about Yuna Mizumori?
Yes.
Look, I understand she's probably making more money.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there's probably benefits that we are not seeing.
I'm sure.
What was that? Four years ago, we were on the show being like, she's the wrestler of the year. She is now doing almost nothing.
Yeah.
She now looks like every other stardom mid-carder.
Sure does.
In the company.
I see her at ringside, like just for other matches, and forget that she is who she is.
So I'm just saying, put aside the fact that she's probably doing better financially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stardom may have better systems in place to help her with her life generally. Although I don't know, maybe not.
Yeah, who's to say?
Was going to stardom the right decision?
I don't know. Like, and I had a little bit of hope for her because she was in the 5-star this year. So yeah. I was like, maybe that'll lead to something, and it sure didn't. I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm like, damn, I sure hope Mesa Ruga never goes to stardom.
Although it seems like Mesa Ruga would go to Tokyo Joshi.
You'd hope.
If she went anywhere.
You'd hope. Seemed. Honestly, although maybe not. I think Yuna would have been a great fit for Tokyo Joshi.
Yeah, but that was just something that came up as I was watching her sort of putz around in the opening match.
Yeah.
And thinking, oh, she looks now very much like the gear, especially the gear. It really was the gear that the gear. I was like, oh, this is like everyone else's gear in the whole company.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was that. The other two.
There was the Siri Konami match that was.
Well, yes. I was going to say the only other two big matches we haven't talked about, although could this be considered a match, was
dumb.
Siri defeating Konami in 33 seconds. Which I didn't look too much up about this. Was it a planned finish?
I think so. Cause like as soon as she went for the kick, then Hate ran in. Like there was no time for anyone to figure out like if Konami was not KO'd or something. So I think it was planned from the beginning. This was just an angle to debut Maya Fukuda of all people.
Who I believe is now going by Kyoka Kotatsu?
Something like that, yeah.
But that was weird because she just sort of stood there and it was like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to be in God's Eye. Okay, you're in.
What a just...
Cool.
God's Eye has now gotten too big.
How many people do they have?
I saw a group photo of them on Instagram or something and I was like, that is entirely too many people.
Let's see. God's Eye. Oh. To be exact,
it's like, can Siri and Konami just have a match?
Okay,
can we just let them wrestle?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, are we counting Alice Inc., the Scandinavian Hurricane, as a current member of God's Eye?
You know, I don't think I would.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 members.
That's too many.
I believe is the count. I mean, 1 is Nanami, so I'll say 8.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Well, and now 9 because...
Yeah.
Maya Fukuda / Kyoko Kotatsu. If that's not her name, it's going to be very weird that I keep saying that name over and over again. But anyway. And then, of course, the main event. Kelly, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about... Evil Saya winning the title?
I think she has improved as a heel since we last discussed her. I don't think she's great at it yet, but I think she's much better than she was. I thought the match itself was pretty good. It got a little long to me, but I don't know, looking at the time, I guess it wasn't that bad. I did enjoy kind of the callback to Saya's injury from what was that last year or the year before against Tom, and kind of like doing the dive successfully and then just getting up like, yeah, I'm not dead this time. Like, I thought that was good. So I think it's a good time for her to be champion. Like, I think this is a good kind of, let's see if it works or not. So I overall liked the match. I don't think it was underwhelming as a main event with everything else that was on the card, but I thought it was solid enough. I ended up just going 3.5, but like an enjoyable 3.5.
I will say generally, I really hate the gimmick of, oh my, the ref is telling me, stop, you have to stop. She's so injured.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, I'm not injured. I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Because why is the ref stopping it right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you just got hit with a, you know, a big power bomb. Wouldn't the ref be like, hey, that person's probably really hurt right now?
It was pretty bullshit free until like the very end.
It's just a thing that always bothers me because it requires a total suspension of how 95% of the rest of wrestling works.
Yeah.
Which is that the ref is not stepping in going, stop, because if the ref is stepping in and going, stop, the match is over. Like, she's too injured to continue, and the ref wants to go, stop, then the match has to end.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, why? Oh, well, now she's really injured. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure. Great. Yeah, we'll see. It was so funny, though, because Starlight Kid Natsupoi ends. I'm like, yeah, heck yeah. Starlight Kid, Wonder of Stardom title. They're putting the belts on these really good people now. You know, Wingori. Yeah, yeah, here we go. And then it was like Saya, and I was like, uh-oh. Look, better than Natsuka Tora.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think I'm just excited about that.
But
my
favorite
part of that match was really not even something that happened. It was something that I thought happened. So when they were doing like when they were hanging Tom with the chain, you had Sari and O run up and start attacking people to try and save Tom. But I thought it was Daichi at first, and I thought Daichi had just had enough and started throwing hands with Hate, and I was like, fuck yeah, this is great.
Wow, Daichi comes out of this show the best.
Yeah, he does.
Daichi and then Starlight Kid, probably.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Micah. Yeah. But yeah, great show. Let's cross our fingers and do other things to hope that whatever happened to this crowd, it should happen to every other crowd that Stardom has.
Yeah, keep it going.
Because they were into it, and it was great. I was like, oh my god, a Natsupoi match and a Surya no match where people are acting like exciting things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great.
Everyone's awake.
Yeah. But that wasn't all the Stardom for the last 2 weeks. They also had a show on the 3rd, which, Kelly, I know that you watched parts of.
Yes. I fired this one up because I wanted to watch the Tom versus Unagi match. And when I fired that match up, I saw that Daichi had a bandage wrapped around his head. And I was like, wait a minute, what? And then I looked at the card and remembered there was a Dump Matsumoto match earlier. And I was like, no. No, Daichi didn't get color, did he? So I had to go back to that match. And I, sure enough, one of the very first things that happens in that match is Dump Matsumoto stabs Daichi in the head. And then he ran the razor for this business. And spent the rest of the match making counts with only one hand while he used his other hand to keep the blood in his head as it was pouring down his face. So much better than Natsuka Tora. So yeah, Daichi rules now. I'm big Daichi fan at the moment. Also, that match that had Dump Matsumoto, it was the Cosmic Angels team of Natsupoi, Sayaka Kurara, and Sarayano defeating Dump Matsumoto, Zap, and Natsuka Tora. The other like thing of note for that match is Sayaka Kurara pinned Natsuka Tora, which was not the result I expected at all. It was the exact opposite result I expected. Especially seeing that Natsuka Tora came out like beat Micah and then immediately loses to Sayaka Kurara. But then I think that set up for their Shinkiba show I think it sounded like some sort of, maybe it's a singles match between Dump and Carrara, which could be awesome. So I'm looking forward to whatever that is. I'm assuming it's going to be a tag, but regardless, it seems like the core bit of it will be Dump fighting Sayaka Carrara, and sure, why not?
All right. Well, yeah. That's Stardom for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wait, no. I still need to talk about the Super Delicious singles match.
Oh, well, they're take it away, please.
Yes. Tom Nakano defeated Unagi Sayaka in what was billed as a Super Delicious singles match. I loved the opening of this match because they just slapped the shit out of each other. And it got to the point where, like, Unagi took Tom to the ground and Tom went for a triangle choke. And I kind of thought it was a UWF rules match, and I just didn't know that. It was very weird. Like, there was... So Tom wins, and, you know, it's kind of just a good way for her to get her heat back after losing the title. I think Cage Match said this match was something like a Stardom career versus Stardom name. And I don't entirely know what that stipulation means, but I'm assuming that Unagi is either not called Unagi or she is just done with Stardom forever now. Was not clear on that, but there was some sort of stipulation. But regardless, good match. I went 3 3/4.
So that was all the Stardom for the last 2 weeks. Marigold also had a big show on the 3rd. That was their first dream show, headlined by Utami defeating Seri for the Marigold world title. By far the best match on the show. If you're short on time, the only match I would recommend on the show. If you're maybe slightly less short on time, I would recommend the top two matches on the show. And if you have all the time in the world, I would say watch the top two matches on the show.
Taylor, you're going to have to sell me on this 25-minute My Sakurai match.
Well, let me first talk about at the bottom of the card, you think a 25-minute My Sakurai match is long. How about a rookie in her first match going over 22 minutes?
Why are we doing this?
Okay, so the show started, they had this rumble. The rumble was fun. Lots of people, they had Ice Ribbon wrestlers. You know, Sunny was on commentary being like, hell has frozen over. Ice Ribbon is in a Rossi Ogawa promotion. Which was funny, you know, and there were some fun wrestlers in it. You know, Momoko Hanazono was in it. You know, Flying Penguin was in it. Of course, Flying Penguin then teaming up and being betrayed by Hummingbird in the middle of the match. So that was fun. I was like, okay, this is cute. A nice rumble. You know, lots of shows do rumbles at this time of year. I was like, oh, yeah, that was fine. Yuki Mishiro won. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Okay, here we go. It's a Mirai singles match with a debuting wrestler again. I'm like, oh, God. Remember last time when she went to a time limit draw?
Yeah.
With a wrestler who had zero matches? And then it happened again. I'm like, what is going on here?
So we're supposed to think Mirai sucks, right?
Well, okay, I will say this. The last time this came up, and I was like, why the hell is this happening? People were like, oh, you don't understand. She's the trainer, so she's just sort of like testing what they can do. And I'm like, well, I don't give a shit about that. Yeah. Like, I don't watch basketball and think, oh, there's a rookie. I hope they spot him 10 points.
Yeah.
To, you know, see what's going on. To me, Mirai, you're a big loser. You can't beat a rookie in. And also, I should say, you know, Seri was going, you know, having her in a submission and going, tap out, tap out. I'm like, you what look like fuck? A sucker. Like, they go to this time limit draw. And then they're like, I'm like, oh, God, Jesus, a time limit draw. That was so long and ugh. And then they're like, we want more time. And I'm like, oh, God, why? You know, I will say Sarah Yamaoka, very solid, had some really good suplexes. Every match in Marigold is like so long.
Yeah.
Why was this 22 minutes long? I don't want to see people who have wrestled for 5 years wrestle for 20 minutes in the opening match, much less someone who's wrestled never, zero. It's just like, ugh, it annoys me so much.
It's why it, like, Rossi doesn't have it anymore. I don't think he ever really had it, to be quite honest.
Well,
but dude's a terrible booker.
And it's another thing where it's like, okay, maybe if this happened once, you'd be like, oh, interesting. Although the first time it happened, I didn't say that either. But there are so many people debuting in this company. You know, we're in the Rumble. The Rumble is like 50% like, oh, hey, this person debuted last week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this person. Oh, they debuted last week, too, on the same show. Oh, and also we also have these 15 other rookies who have all debuted in the last 3 months. I'm like, oh, cool. Jesus. Like, you can't keep them straight. And you're like, okay, Sarah Yamaoka, she's a super rookie. And I'm like, okay. Haven't you already had like 4 or 5 super rookies in this company in less than one year of existence?
Yeah.
Like, I just want a wrestler to show up. Like, it was almost like, oh, Yuki Mishira, I'm so glad she's here. She's someone I know is good. And she isn't someone who's been wrestling for like 5 seconds or wrestling in a company that, quote unquote, doesn't do wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, so this started off. This started me off on such a bad foot with this show because I was like, what the hell is this? But I will say I did like the Superfly title match. Victoria Yuzuki winning, beating Natsumi Shozuki to win the title. I will say, starting to feel a little bit like Victoria Yuzuki is got a bit of Sabu in her.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In that she botched, I believe, 4 or 5 things in this match. She got through, I think, 1 or 2 of them. One, she did a springboard and she slipped, but still managed to sort of hit a drop kick. And that was fine. They were on the top rope and they fell off the top rope. That was one. She went to do the best moonsault ever, Christopher Daniels' best moonsault ever, and slipped on the ropes. And it's just one of those things where it's like, this is a person, she is very good. She's a young, you know, very young wrestler, quote unquote, super rookie, that is now being depended on to be like the 5th best wrestler in this company. Because
which
there's
is ridiculous.
No one. Because they have like no one in the company.
Yeah.
So I liked the match. I went 3 3/4. I thought it was a very good, solid match, but I'm like, Victoria Yuzuki is going to like hurt herself if she keeps doing this. It's what I thought. That was my big thought in that match. That was really the only other match on the show that I thought was sort of notable. Bozilla and the debuting Tank winning the Marigold twin star titles from Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki. Bozilla was the best wrestler in the match, which will tell you what was going on with everyone else.
Was it cool to have the Rev show up to introduce Tank?
I will say very problematically, when they were introducing Tank, the announcer said her nickname, which at first I thought, because I knew she was European, I think she's from Holland. I thought they announced her as the Aryan Lady.
Oh.
And I was like, uh-oh. But then I realized her nickname is the Iron Lady.
Oh.
Which I thought is also problematic because that was the nickname of Margaret Thatcher. Anyway. Tank is very tall.
Okay.
Is
she built like a tank or is she just tall?
I would say that she has some muscle.
Because, like, Bozilla, you could call Tank. Bozilla's built like a tank.
Bozilla, you could call tank. And let me tell you, a thing to watch from this match would be Bozilla's entrance, because she came out with like the Imogen Joe mask from Mad Max, and it literally had smoke coming out of it. And I was like, this is pretty cool.
That sounds cool.
I would say tank needs a lot of work.
15% off everything you can fit inside the bag is back at Menards. Make painting easier by using a one-coat product. Grand Distinction is an interior painting primer in one that will give your home a fresh, updated look. Right now, get 15% off Pittsburgh products and all the painting supplies you can fit inside the bag through January 12th. See store for complete details. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And was by far the weak member of the team, and that's on a team with Bozilla.
So not a super rookie.
Not a super rookie. And I'm not alone in this, because the match rating on Cage Match is 2.95.
Well, Tank has a recorded 37 matches on Cage Match.
Yes. You know, maybe gets better. We'll see. Only other thing to really talk about, Koke Amore retaining the GHC women's title in a match I didn't enjoy. Chico Goto hit possibly the worst giant swing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh no.
It was like, oh, she's going to get her up for the giant swing. And I'm trying to think of how to describe this giant swing. It was like someone who has never done a giant swing trying to figure out how to do it live in the moment. It was very slow. Koke at no point got extended. She was sort of straight up and down. This was really the match. I just think the roster construction in Marigold is very poor.
Yeah.
I'm desperate for some good, solid workers. I was like, look, Koke was fine, but she's also the GHC women's title holder in a match going 8 minutes that I thought, this is not great. Like, why do they already have five titles? They don't even have five, like, veterans.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Nanai Takahashi is retiring in 5 months. So, great news. And then Mai Sakurai won the frickin' United National title, the pure white title. Like, this match I thought was decent. Like, I would have gone 3.5. But unless they're setting up Miko to defeat Utami very quickly for the world title, which I can't imagine they're doing, Miko is like their only other saving grace wrestler.
Yeah.
She's very good. She sort of is the way that I think they think a lot of other wrestlers on the roster are, which is young and very talented. And now I'm like, what is she going to be doing? I hope something, because you need her. Especially, I don't know, now that Sari's lost, she's not part of the company. Is she going to disappear?
I was about to say, is Sari wrapping up, I wonder?
Like, a promotion in 5 months with a top two of Utami and Miko Aono, and then number three would be
Natsumi Shozuki. They sold out their number one to the Fed with Julia.
So, yeah. Anyway.
It kind of, like, the more I'm thinking about it, it bothers me a lot with how Wrestle Universe or Cyber Fight or whatever has positioned Marigold as oh, this is our number one Joshi promotion. And meanwhile, Tokyo Joshi's right there. I feel like they spend so much more time promoting Marigold than they do Tokyo Joshi. And Tokyo Joshi just runs circles around Marigold in pretty much every aspect.
And requiring payment for big shows.
Yeah.
Yes, I think you're correct. I'm very interested to see where this promotion goes. 2025, first 6 months, I don't want to see any rookies debut. I don't want them. I don't need them. I would like to see someone who has wrestled for 5 or 6 years debut. Who I think, a solid hand.
That would be nice.
Who I won't be afraid will mar themselves in the ring.
Yeah. Also, the more that time passes, I don't think we have to worry about Mayu making a jump.
Now, it could be that she, maybe she does.
I don't think it's happening.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, Marigold had so much hype and a lot of momentum immediately coming out of the gate. And I feel like they've stumbled so hard to the point where if Mayu made the jump, it is an enormous step down.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. But we'll see. You know, you never know. Loyalty can make you do strange things.
I'm hoping that being away from Hatman has kind of opened her eyes to be like, oh yeah, he's fucking weird.
I mean, I think being around him would remind you he's very weird.
Well, maybe he's got like some kind of hypno disc in his hats.
Maybe that's why he wears them.
Yeah, he's like fucking the ringmaster from Marvel Comics, where he's just going to the circus and everyone that goes to the circus, he hypnotizes them to give them all their money while they're performing.
But anyway, that was Marigold.
But he just does that with Joshi wrestlers and the masks he makes them wear. And he's like, oh, more for my collection.
Seedling also had a show on the 27th of December. Hanori Hana has returned to the promotion. They also had two title matches. Ayame Sasamura and Itsuki Aoki retaining the Beyond the Sea tag team titles over the hate duo of Natsuka Tora and Ruaka, thank God.
Yeah.
And Seri defeated Nagisa Nozaki to retain the Seedling Beyond the Sea title. Oz has had two shows. The December 30th show, Kelly, you want to talk about that show?
Yeah, I watched the top two from this one. In the semi-main, you had Mayumi Ozaki defeating Sari Ano in an incredibly oddly paced match. Like, I enjoyed it, but I would have so much trouble recommending it to people because of just the Oz shenanigans. But, like, it was weirder than normal because you had police and someone whose name escapes me at the moment come out to attack both of them. Because it's like, oh, hang on. I guess we need to beat up both of you because we're both from the group. It was just so weird. And then they teamed up to fight off police and friend. And then they kind of just had a match from there. And yeah, like I enjoyed it, but it didn't come anywhere near close touching their match from a couple of years ago. I ended up just going 3.5. And then in the main, you had the Oz Academy tag title match where FWC of Stardom, Hazuki and Koguma defeated Ryo Mizunami and Sona Kakato to win the tag titles. And this was great. It's really cool to see FWC and Oz, and like seeing Mizunami and Hazuki square off was awesome. So I am very excited to see who else FWC gets to wrestle in this company. And I went 4 stars on this. It's definitely worth checking out.
Yes, and I will say that Ozaki Ano match from a couple of years ago, I believe, is on YouTube and is accessible. And if you haven't seen it, check out that match because that was a very good match.
Yeah, watch that match, not this match.
An excellent match. Oz Academy also had a show on the 5th where they had a New Year's tournament, Rina Yamashita defeating Zones in the final match. And that show also had an open weight title match. The champion Ryu Mizunami retaining against Unagi Sayaka there. That is Oz Academy. Tokyo Joshi has had a few shows here at the end of the year. The first was on December 29th. Kelly, you want to talk about that show?
Yes. So the show from the 29th, the one thing I would recommend is to watch the 5-on-5 gauntlet match. So the rules for this one was it was 5-minute matches with 2 count falls. And then if you went past the 5 minutes, then it was overtime with 1 count falls. This was awesome. Like, I loved this. You had Shoko Nakajima start for her team, defeating Yoshihiko Hasegawa and Uta Takami. Then Shino Suzuki came out and pinned Shoko Nakajima in what felt like a huge moment for her. Then Shino beat Toga, which was cool because, you know, those two are kind of generational rivals now, and it was nice to see Shino get the win over Toga here. Mocha beat Shino. Then Mocha and Suzumi went to a time limit draw, and which Suzumi eventually won. Then we got a match between Arisu Endo and Suzumi. That was awesome. Just such a fun sprint between those two. Super good stuff. Then Mizuki beat Arisu Endo and Hazukara Shiro to win. It very much felt like that generational tag from the end of 2023. It didn't reach the heights of that, but I think it was just as effective in kind of getting over the young talent. So that this was great. I went 4.25 on it overall. I was very impressed by it.
Tokyo Joshi also had their yearly January 4th show. This one was headlined by Mizuki becoming a 2-time Princess of Princess champion, defeating Miyu Watanabe in 18 minutes and 40 seconds in the main event. Kelly, what'd you think about the show, and what'd you think about the main event?
The show I enjoyed. The main event is my current match of the year. I thought it was great, but the ending sure was crushing because I did not want Miyu to lose here. So that was a big disappointment. But you know what? Incredible match. Miyu beat the shit out of Mizuki. Like, those chops were crazy. And it was just like, Miyu felt unstoppable. And like, she was reaching Terminator Yuka levels. And then just Mizuki kind of poured it on and beat her. And, you know, it was a really, really good match. I went 4.5 on it.
I was just below you. I went 4.25. I was not really all that disappointed because I think it was Mr. Hawk. Well, it must have been Mr. Hawk who at the beginning of the match said that Miyu had beaten everyone who had been Princess of Princess champion who was still currently in the company. And so I was like, well, I guess if she beats Mizuki, then it's like, well, what does she do?
Yeah, you got to leave something for the next run.
I feel like they gave her a long reign. She had some really good notable matches. Like, and I do feel like Mizuki's first reign got cut short. So I was sort of like, okay, I'm fine with this because I like Mizuki. She's really good. The first reign, you know, losing to Miyu Yamashita, I thought was sort of like, ugh, like, why did this happen? So I'm glad that she'll have another chance to sort of, you know, have the title, hopefully have a more lengthy reign. I think that'll be good. So I was okay with it. I really liked the match. As I said, slightly below you, but thought it was very good. And of course, Miyu has established herself as one of the best, I think, in the world. Mm-hmm. So that was great. Kelly, we really have to put all of this aside, though, for what I believe was the most important moment of the entire show, which was Mocha Miyamoto debuting a new look.
What? I didn't see it.
What? You didn't watch the match?
I didn't watch that one.
Oh my God.
Hang on. I'm going to Instagram. I'm going to find it.
My first two notes on the match were, wait, did we do it? And this look is good. I have one remaining issue with the look, which is very easily solvable.
Okay, I'm looking at it now.
She still wears the bow, and I think the bow has to go.
Yeah.
I think if the bow went, I'm behind the look. They put some, the skirt now feels less like she's wearing underwear under the skirt because there's some pattern on the thing. The skirt is more, I don't know, something. She's sort of wearing a karate top, you know, dyed the hair. I'm like, I can get behind this. Even Haku at the beginning of the match was like, I wonder if she's going to take her the bow off before she wrestles. And then she didn't. So get rid of the bow, and I am supportive of this.
Yeah, I like the new look.
So we did 2025. It. How long have we been talking about this?
Still like, very much a case of look at all these different fabrics I'm combining.
Yes, there's still a lot of different patterns and colors and things. But when she comes out and you say, oh, she is a karate person, you can at least look at it and go, I understand.
Yeah, I can buy that now.
And not like, no, I think she's a woman who wandered out of the crowd.
Yeah.
And wants to be on the show. Yes.
Can
that
we talk
was a
about
huge moment.
The absolutely disappointing Lumbersnake death match.
I thought it was fine, but I just have to say, you can't start the match saying, oh, I'm going to turn you into Viper Masao, and then not do that at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I can't wait to see that. And then she won.
I don't know. I have like zero nostalgia or love or whatever for Poison Sawada Julie. So this did just absolutely nothing for me. And like, this is their New Year's nonsense match is always one of my most anticipated matches of the year. So this was very disappointing for me personally.
I mean, I thought it was fine. I mean, I think at this point now, I believe this was the sixth one that they've done. I'm like, they're probably sitting back there going, what the hell can we do?
It's sad to see that the same season we saw their match and the Great Space War were both kind of bad to me. Like, I need someone out there to do some good nonsense for me.
I did laugh. I don't know if they did this last year. I think they may have done it last year, but announcing the match for next year right after the match ends, being like, Shoko Nakajima will face off against Hyper Masao.
Good. Perfect.
Is very funny. Yuki Arai Suzume. Suzume, new champ.
You did it. You did it.
Tokyo Joshi said, Yuki Arai, you're leaving SKE 48. Dunzo.
Worse than trash to us, yeah. Now.
But an interesting win. I was not expecting it.
No.
It sort of makes sense, but I was not expecting it because I sort of am behind the story of, oh, Daisy Monkey, you know, bad singles wrestlers, good tag. Not bad singles wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, lesser singles wrestlers, very good tag wrestlers. But, you know, maybe this is part. She has a good title reign. She drops it. And then they're like, okay, now I'm super powered and let's win the tag titles again.
Yeah.
But just an interesting, I mean, if 121 million were not tag champions, if literally anyone else was, I would be like, this is a fascinating group of champions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Suzume, now Mizuki. Just very interesting. I'm excited for Suzume because I'm sure the matches will be really good. You know, oh, yeah. I think a lot of times with the title, people win it who you're like, well, hopefully they'll have some good matches because they're getting better. Suzume is like, she's really good. I'm sure she'll have great matches unless they put her up against, like, you know, Ellie Catch or something.
Like, you know, we'll get a great match against Endo at some point.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I hope they do that. I mean,
you
that
gotta do
be
it.
Part of the story.
Yeah, you got to do it.
So that was good. I don't know if I was crazy about the match itself because it sort of still has that Yuki Arai ceiling on it, but
I went 3.75 on it. I thought Arai was actually really good here, and she kind of felt like a grizzled champion who just wanted to put Suzume away to extend her run. Like, it didn't even feel like she was interested in having the match. She was just like, I'm gonna fucking boot this little B person in the face until they stay down. And Suzume ate a lot of boots in this match.
And then what'd you think of the tag semi-main tag
fine.
Title match? Yeah, I actually liked it.
I went three. I was 3.5. I think it was hurt by there being absolutely zero chance that 1 to 1 million was losing.
Yeah. Zara Zocker, great find. Another great find. I'm like, wow, Tokyo Joshi has all these great finds. But I guess when they stink, they don't stick around. So you don't really think about them.
I got really bummed out again that Zara Zocker is headed to the Fed eventually.
WWE ID.
Yeah. It's like, okay, another fucking thing about Marigold. Like, Tokyo Joshi can get Zara Zocker and Masha and all these decent to very good gaijins, and Marigold is like, I don't know, we got Tank.
Yeah, but the problem is Zara Zocker is not very tall.
Yeah.
And you have to be tall to be a gaijin in Marigold.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to be a very tall European person.
Yeah, that's another part I forgot about.
Because also Nightshade was in the Rumble for Marigold.
Yeah, she fits.
Yeah, so I was like, okay. I was like, yeah. Oh, and I should also say, I believe the first Utami title defense is going to be Utami versus Tank.
It's gonna suck.
That was the angle.
Why would you do that? And they're gonna go like 25 minutes.
Yeah, that was the angle after the show.
Fuck.
Anyway,
Tokyo Joshi sucks so bad.
The Tokyo Joshi show, very good. You know, I think it's different where the 1-4 show used to have to be like, okay, this is their one big show of the year. It better be really good. Now it's like, oh, now we're going to have another big show in 2 months. So they don't have to be like, you know, it wasn't the best Tokyo Joshi show, big show they've ever put on, but I thought it was very solid.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. And they did announce Bullet Train Wrestling.
Hell yeah.
Will be coming to Tokyo Joshi on February 15th. So very soon. The match will be Miyu. Well, I'll do it in this order. Miyu Yamashita, Maki Ito, Yuki Arai, and Max the Impaler versus Miyu Watanabe, Mizuki, Aja Kong, and Kelly, do you know the last person in the match?
I'm going to go Raku.
Correct. Of course, they're getting on a train. It must be Raku. I think that'll be great.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
That'll be a lot of fun. Up Up Girls debuted a new song with lyrics by Hyper Masao. That was fun. Probably the only other thing to talk about, Mifu Ishida, formerly of Ice Ribbon, debuting in Tokyo Joshi. I think a solid pickup. You know, not a home run one, but we talked about they need mid-carders, and I think that she'll be a good fit in there. So... My only other I'm looking through the rest of my notes. My only other notes was for the Aja Kong, Mihiro Kiryu, Haruna Neko versus Palm Harajuku, Raku, and Yuki Aino. Where my first note was, has Aja Kong ever been on a worse team in her whole career than Haruna Neko and Mihiro Kiryu? But I enjoyed the match, and my note was probably the best you could ask for from this collection of talent. So yeah. I enjoyed it. What else happened? Sendai Girls had a show on the 5th that had a tag team title match. Miyu Momono and Yurika Oka defeating Dash Chizako and Hiroyo Matsumoto, the Reiwa Ultima Powers. Ice Ribbon had their annual Ribbon Mania show. Yuki Mashiro defeating Misa Kagura to retain the Ice Infinity title. Hamako Hoshi and Makoto retaining the tag team titles over Sumiki Yanagawa and Yuko Sakurai. So that was that match. Wave had their monthly first of the month show on January 1st. Saya Kamatani, the Regina DeWave champion, retaining her title against Kohaku. So now a double champion. And Kelly, I know that you watched the New Japan related women's action. So
I did. Want to
talk about that briefly.
Yeah. So let's see. On Wrestle Kingdom on the 4th, we had an IWGP women's title match between Mayu Iwatani and Izumi, with Mayu successfully defending the belt. This was just like an all killer, no filler match with them going nuts in the limited amount of time they had. So it was awesome. It was a really great sprint. The crowd was into it. Like, if you just kind of close your eyes and imagine the match these two had, it's exactly that. So I went 4.25. Great showing in the dome. And then on the 5th at Wrestle Dynasty, there was two women's matches. You had the match that kicked off the pre-show, the International Women's Cup match. It was a four-way. Momo Watanabe defeated Willow Nightingale, Athena, and Persephone. This is pretty good. Good way to kick off the show. The women had pretty good chemistry, which, you know, with four people from effectively four different promotions, that's pretty rare to find. We did get like kind of a traditional hate finish where Momo won after a ref distraction, but, you know, that's to be expected. Very surprised to see Athena take the fall with how protected she is in Ring of Honor, but it did set up a match between her and Tekla coming up. But yeah, that was pretty good. I went 3.75. And then you had on the main show, the NJPW Strong and Rev Pro women's titles on the line, with Mercedes Moné defeating Mina Shirakawa. There we go. To take all the belts home. She now has four belts, because I think Mina's Rev Pro title was like married with another British women's title. So yeah, Mercedes has just a pile of titles at the moment. In this one, Mercedes continues her streak of great matches. Mina lost here, but, you know, she looked really good and controlled most of the match. My one gripe about it is Mina spent most of the match just like destroying Monet's knees. And like, that was all really well done until Monet started her comeback with two knee strikes immediately. And it's like, okay, I'm not typically a dude that harps on selling that bad, but it's just like, this goes against everything that just happened in the past 5 or so minutes. But like, I don't know. That aside, I really enjoyed it. I went 3.75 on that one too.
So that is everything that happened in the last 2 weeks of Joshi. But what is coming up as we head into January? As Kelly just mentioned, Stardom has a Korakuen Hall show on January 13th. That will have the Athena versus Tekla Ring of Honor women's title match. That should be good. At the time we're recording, nothing else has been announced for that show, although I'm sure that will be coming shortly, and maybe it will be announced by the time the show is out, but right now it is not. Seedling has a show at Shinkiba First Ring on the 17th. Nothing is announced for that show yet. Tokyo Joshi has three shows coming up in the next 2 weeks. The first one is on the 11th. That one will have a battle royal to determine the next challenger for the Princess of Princess title. And then on January 17th, we're right back into tournament season. It will be the beginning of the Max Hart Tag Team Tournament. There will be matches on the 17th and on the 18th, so right back into that tournament. Always, or usually, the first tournament of the year, first big tournament of the year. Marigold has a Korakuen Hall show on January 19th. Three matches announced for that already, three title matches that were all in some way set up on their big 1-3 show. Bozilla and Tank. The new tag team champions will face off against Nanai Takahashi and Sari Yamaoka. Mai Sakurai will defend the pure white belt against Nagisa Nosaki in a match people will be banging down the doors to see.
Yeah.
And then Victoria Yuzuki will defend her newly won Superfly championship against Ice Infinity champion Yuki Mashiro. So that one I'm very much looking forward to. Speaking of Yuki Mashiro, she will be defending her Ice Infinity title on the 13th against Manami Katsu in Ice Ribbon. Some other shows going on in the next 2 weeks. Prominence has a show on January 6th featuring a Kelly match, which is Takashi Sasaki and Risa Serra facing off against Jun Kasai and Dash Chizako.
Yep. That's a Kelly match.
Yeah. I saw it and I was like, this is a match that Kelly will want to watch. And then Just Tap Out has a show on the 10th with some fun matches. Aoi will face off against Rina Yamashita. Mako Sagamora will make an appearance to face off against Tomoka Inaba. And Misa Kagura will face off against fallen champion Tom Nakano in a match. So a fun card there for Just Tap Out. So next time we're here, we'll probably be talking some Max Hart tag tournament. We'll probably talk about the Stardom Cork and Hall show and Marigold possibly, but lots to talk about next time. But that is all for this time, so I will throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
So something I discovered recently is if you want a nice little treat, you take some hot chocolate mix and use coffee for the water. That's what I've been drinking the whole time we've been doing this show.
So like chocolate coffee?
Yeah.
All right.
Delicious little treat.
For some reason you said coffee, but my mind translated it to cough syrup.
Oh yeah, you gotta do your hot chocolate lean.
I was like, oh no, Kelly, please.
Look, 2024 was hard, Taylor.
I just want to reiterate, please do not do that. Do not. You can do the coffee, not cough syrup. All right. Well, Kelly, I have to say, sadly, I'm not a coffee drinker.
Really?
Yeah. I never have enjoyed it.
Interesting. So
never have. I have a natural energy.
Okay, that's true.
To me, that just comes through. I don't need any coffee.
Yeah, you're high on life.
But it's mostly a taste thing. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, but maybe with maybe with a lot of chocolate in it.
There you go. Yeah.
I would enjoy it. Maybe that's the thing that will get me into it.
Yeah. I've gotten in the past couple of years, coffee has been a thing I've gotten really into. You know, I do enjoy the flavored coffee mates. So yeah. And every year I do love putting eggnog in my coffee when it's that time of year. Sad that I can't get nog anymore. All gone.
Well, this has been Kelly's Corner, and it has also been Coffee Corner.
Kelly's Cafe.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Welcome in. But that is all for us for this week of Jumping Bomb Audio. But we will be back in 2 weeks to talk even more Joshi Pro Wrestling. So until then, bye bye.
Bye, everybody.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.